This morning our text is John chapter 17 and verse 15. This few words of our Lord's prayer. He said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And so I'll speak to you on the subject of why Christians are left in the world. Jesus said to the Father, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your precious word, how dear it is to our hearts. The older that we get, the more that we study and trust, the more that we learn about you and your word, the more precious and real that it becomes. And over and over again, we see your word proven in our lives and in the lives of others. Wonderful to know him who is the way and the truth and the life. And I pray that you bless the words that goes forth this morning. I thank you for those that listen and those that are part of the tape ministry, and I pray you bless your word wherever it goes, and I thank you for the privilege of preaching it. Help me, dear God, to rightly divide the word, to preach it as it is to people as we are. I want to come in behalf of all those that have said, pray for me. You pray for those, dear Lord, that even have not asked an interest in prayer, but those that are troubled in heart and home and life, and those that are bereaved and those that are injured and those that are facing surgery and so many trials and problems in the world. Help your people to look above them and put our minds upon things above and not on things on the earth. Help us to be looking for your coming and working until you do. In Jesus' name, for his sake I pray, amen. Christ does not pray for our removal from this life at the time of our salvation or soon thereafter even. He prays that we would be kept or preserved here in this world. God could remove his people from this world at any time that he pleases. In the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 5 and verse 24, it tells us about Enoch, who walked with God and was not, for God took him. So God took Enoch out of an evil age by translation. And God can take his people at whatever time that he chooses to do that. So why does he leave his people in the world? I think that it may be for the profit of others, for the benefit of others. I read in the words of the great apostle, the apostle Paul, as he's writing to that church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, 22, and 23, he said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See how personal that is? Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, or for me to live is for Christ to live, because Christ lives in me. And you remember that he mentioned that in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ lives in born-again believers. And may others see him in us. Personally, to die would be gain, because it'd be to leave this old world of sin and sorrow and suffering and go into the presence of the Lord, the glory and beauty of heaven, and the place of plenty. But Paul goes on to say in writing to the Philippians, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So, my brother and my sister in Christ, sometimes in times of trial, in times of suffering, in times of disappointment, in times of heartache, it's easy for us to say, I wish that the Lord would just take me on out of this life. But remember, God has a purpose in you being here. And you may not see that purpose, but the purpose is that we just be faithful unto Him. And you may say, well, there's not much that I can do. I'm housebound, or maybe I'm even bedfast. But God makes no mistakes. He doesn't work His servants overtime. And the very fact that God is leaving you here is evident that God is using you, that God has something yet that you can do. And you know the Lord and the power of prayer, and you can pray. The Spirit will lead and guide and direct as we pray. And let me remind you that the world would be destroyed if all God's people were suddenly removed. There are Bible examples of this. I refer again to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, when Noah and his family got in the ark. The Bible says that God shut the door. And then what happened? Well, the world outside the ark was doomed. You go to the book of Genesis in chapter 7. Let me do that for just a minute. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And then in verse 4 of that same chapter, For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Then in verse 16, they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. The waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the earth, both man and cattle and the creeping things, the fowl of the heaven, they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. When Lot and his family were taken out of Sodom, you remember Sodom was destroyed. That's in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning in about verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become hither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground. But he said, I can't do that until I get my people out. So we may be left here to endure the sufferings that we're called upon of this world to be instrumental in the salvation of others. And, you know, that's not too great a price, is it? Whatever our trials, whatever our sufferings, whatever our disappointments, whatever our heartaches may be, if God would be pleased to use that in the salvation of others. That's not too great a price. And Paul's writing was probably his last letter, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. The apostle writes, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." And I think of sick ones that I have seen lying on their bed, that the word of God is very precious to them. And everyone that comes by to see them, they say something to them about God, something to them about the word of God. They're a good testimony, even in their hours of suffering. And the apostle said, "I suffer trouble as an evildoer, being falsely accused, even in the bonds, even being in jail. But the word of God is not bound." Isn't that a wonderful thought? As long as we know the word of God, we can share the word of God with others. The word of God is not bound, no matter if our bodies are. So the apostle goes on to say, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." We are left here to serve God in the same place, my listener, where we sinned against God. We're left here to show the power of divine grace. We're left here so that we will be more grateful for heaven. We're left here to demonstrate God's keeping power. You remember the psalmist David in Psalms 37, verse 25, I believe it is, said, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." And back to 2 Timothy in the apostle's writing in that fourth chapter and in verse 18, he said, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." The time's going to come when the Lord will deliver me out of this evil world. But that's in his own time and not in mine. And he goes on to say, "And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." So I don't know when the Lord will deliver you out of this world of sin and sorrow and suffering, but I know that he shall. And I know that, as the apostle says, until this time comes that he delivers you from this present evil world, he'll keep you. He'll preserve you, if you're his, unto his heavenly kingdom. And then the apostle says, "To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." But back to our text, part of this prayer is that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Now, the evil from which God keeps his people is something that certainly is needed, because this world is filled with many, many snares for the children of God. I was reading this verse last night, or these couple of verses, in Proverbs chapter 30, and I read them to my family, and we discussed them for a little bit. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9, Solomon said, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Here Solomon says, And may this be the heart's desire and prayer of every child of God. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Lord, don't make me too rich or too poor. Just feed me the food convenient for me. Just give me this day my daily bread. Just give me what I need day by day, because if I were too rich, he said, I might deny thee, and I might depend on my riches instead of you, and I might be saying by my life, who is the Lord? I have riches, I have everything that I need, like those people that the Lord tells us of the church in the Revelation, who saw themselves increased with goods and had need of nothing. The Lord said that they were miserable and poor and wretched and blind. So give me not riches. Just feed me with food convenient for me. For Lord, if you gave me riches, I might be full and deny thee. And then, Lord, that I might not be too poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Isn't it wonderful that we can just depend on the Lord? And the Lord, in his prayer, in our text verse, that's what he asked for. He said, I don't ask you, Father, to take them out of the world, but I do ask you to keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil of this world. Sin is a terrible evil that is ever present. I had a prisoner the other night to come up and talk to me about the scripture in the 7th chapter of Romans. After a service, we were in services for a few nights down at the Bonner prison. In the 7th chapter of Romans and verse 18, the apostle said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And that was the thing that was troubling this prisoner that said that he knew the Lord, but he knew that he was far short of living for the Lord. Verse 21 in that 7th chapter of Romans, Paul said, for I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now that sin is a terrible thing, and we'll never stamp it out of our natural life. But when I think about this, I always think about what Paul said a little bit earlier in this letter to the Romans in the 12th verse of the 6th chapter. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And every time I think about the fact that you can't keep sin out of your life, I think about this verse of Scripture, let not sin therefore reign or rule in your mortal body. You can't keep it out, but you can keep it from being your master. For as the beloved Apostle John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So we do not have to yield to temptation. Temptation is not sin. It's yielding to the temptation. It's where sin comes. And so, though you can't keep sin out, you can keep it from ruling in your life as a child of God. That you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Worldliness is an evil from which we need to be kept. You remember in 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul writes of Demas, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Oh, if as children of God, we could come to the place of the Apostle Paul where in Galatians 6:14, where he talks about the cross. And when we come to the Christ of the cross and trust him as our Savior, then that makes a change in us. He makes a change in us. And then our hearts should cry, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In the writings of the beloved Apostle John, in that first epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 15, 16, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Listen, Christian. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Satan, my listener, is on the job. He is ever present. And he is an ever present evil. No matter how that he may approach you. In the Apostle Peter's writing, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I have purposely given you that verse slowly. Be sober, be sane, be sensible. Christian, be vigilant. Be on the lookout. For he is out there. And he is your enemy. And he uses many tricks. He uses many devices. He is the devil. Jesus said he's the father of lies. And Peter said, as a roaring lion, he's walking about. He's encircling your camp. He's watching our lives. He's waiting for a time to pounce upon us with whatever would draw us away from God, with whatever would cripple our lives and our testimony for the one who died for us. And what he is doing, as Peter said in this verse, he's seeking whom he may devour. Well, there are some lessons that we could learn from this part of our Lord's Prayer that we're using as our text this morning, John chapter 17 and verse 15, where he said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. We should be willing to remain here as long as the Lord wills. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 said, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. Job 14:5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Just leave everything where it is in the hands of the Lord, and he'll do everything at exactly the right time. You need to be saved. Jesus Christ is your only hope. You look to him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if you are saved, just patiently wait and serve him until he calls you home. I want to thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you, and until we meet again, goodbye.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
You've been listening to the radio services of the Portland Missionary Baptist Church of Plumerville with the Pastor Emeritus Earl Smith. Listen next Saturday at 8 o'clock.